Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to the By Yahweh's Design conference call for the 13th day of September, year 2020. I am Commander Dan, your host and chairman for this meeting of the House of Jacob Israel. The agenda for today's call is, who are we? We dedicate this call to our Heavenly Father Yahweh, who is the great I Am. We also dedicate this call to his holy remnant, who are the believing sons and daughters of Jacob or Jacob, who was later named Israel. Today, these people are known as the Caucasian or the true Israelite peoples of the world. Hallelujah, which means all praise Yahweh in ancient or paleo Hebrew. To my Welsh kinsmen across the ocean, Shumai and Borada, Cymru and Byth. Callers will be welcome later on in the broadcast. We do ask that you watch your language and also remember not to walk on any other callers that might be on at the same time. We are in the question and answer mode, which means you are automatically muted, whether you join by phone or by computer, until you signify that you wish to ask a question or make a comment. Our website is www.pastordan.net, and Pastor Dan is all together with no special characters, no spaces, no anything, just plain old pastordan.net. I do want to remind you that you should check there once in a while the Daily Mail page and some of the other pages for resource information. I'm updating it quite frequently, especially for things like guns and ammunition, where to find it, prepper information, information about identity, how to study it, what it means, and things such as that. Again, PastorDan.net, not .com or org, .net. N-E-T, net. Also, because of the censorship, which is in full swing that's going on right now, the Daily Mail page, if you could bookmark it or check it frequently, it would be very helpful to me because they try to squash the sending out of bulk mail nowadays, especially if the algorithms, artificial intelligence, that's all algorithms are, if the algorithm picks up that you're trying to get truth out there, if you're trying to wake up the white race, if you're trying to tell the truth about Jews, if you're trying to tell the truth about this bug that they claim is a pandemic, which it is not, etc., etc., etc. Confusion. We are in the days of Mystery Babylon, and just for the sake of making sure I was correct, I just looked it up in the Brown Divers and Briggs Hebrew lexicon. Babylon comes from the Hebrew Babel, same thing as in the Tower of Babel, or Babel, whichever way you want to pronounce it. It's the same Hebrew word that is used in the Greek language for Babylon, and it means confusion. Confusion. So anytime you see, especially in the Old Testament, the word Babel or Babel, or in the Greek, Babylon, it's coming from the same root words, which means confusion. And it's not just any old confusion. It's confusion caused by admixture. Now folks say, well, what the hell is that, Dan? Well, admixture is when you mix things that don't belong together. Okay? If they do belong together, it's not called admixture. Okay? So you're mixing together things that don't belong together. Well, what might that be? Well, how about mixing white and black DNA? Or white DNA with any non-white DNA? Well, that's admixture. Yahweh says, do not mongrelize. That's the sixth law in the Septuagint of Yahweh, uk mukesus in the Greek. Do not mongrelize. Okay? One commandment. And we can't even get that right. One commandment. If you didn't study anything at all about the Ten Commandments, oh, it says in your English Bibles, thou shalt not commit adultery. And that means don't mess around with a married person. Really? I got news for you. That's not what it's talking about. That little commandment down near the bottom that says don't covet anything of your neighbor's covers not messing around with a married person. They've already have a man that has their cover. Okay? So that would be ludicrous to have another commandment that means the same thing. So what was the do not adulterate? Well, what the hell does adulterate even mean? Think about it. If I adulterate something, is it talking about a marriage relationship? If I say to my son, don't adulterate that bucket of white paint sitting out on the porch, what am I saying to him? I'm telling him, don't mix into that white paint any other color paint, because then you have adulterated the paint. How much simpler can it be? Part of the problem, and why I talked about who are we, is because of all the arguing that's going on nowadays. I can't believe how white people nitpick one another. I'm astounded, okay? And again, I'm not trying to come at this as if I'm a perfect person, all right? I'm not. Anybody that knows me well knows that I'm a relatively humble individual. I don't claim to know everything. I do, however, spend an awful lot of time, and I have for decades, going down rabbit holes in an endless pursuit of truth. Because as a boy, I believed what the Bible told me and what the Holy Spirit told me, that the truth shall set you free. Shall set you free from what? Ignorance, bad health, slavery, indebtedness. All right, we'll set you free from what? Ignorance. Sin, which is transgression of God's law. Okay, that's what sin is. Not having a lewd thought about a woman. Hey, I got news for you. We're men. We have lewd thoughts about women all the time. If that was a sin unto death, we'd all be dead. Use some common sense, people. But we sit around and we find every little jot and tittle to argue about and separate us. That's why the enemy has a foothold in our white nations today. We don't even know who we are anymore. We don't even have the sense that God gave to the animal kingdom to take care of their own. If you take man out of the equation, the animal kingdom does not race mix. The animal kingdom does not kill the unborn. The animal kingdom does not leave their children to strangers to indoctrinate and to harm. The animal kingdom does not allow you to have pedophilia or molest their children. The animal kingdom will actually fight to the death to protect their children. But what do we do? Let's see. The Jews came in and changed it from baby to fetus. And we said, okay, since you changed it from baby to fetus, it must be okay to go in and butcher the baby. That's all it took. You want to know why we have this so-called pandemic? Because we don't know who we are. We really don't. White people are the dumbest people on earth at this time. They don't even know who they are. They're ashamed of who they are because some outside entity has crept in as a thief in the middle of the night and stolen your vocabulary, stolen your own identity. They call themselves God's chosen. Really? Since when? Christ condemned them. Every chance he had, every time he had to deal with them, he condemned them. Never once did he have a good thing to say about these people. But we have forgotten who we are. So here comes the flu season, which is the fall of the year, every year, since man's walked this earth. And we have a few people with sniffles and colds, and some of our elderly and people with other comorbidities, or modalities, I should say, or mortalities, that's right, mortalities. They have other underlying conditions, in other words. So if they get the flu, sometimes they can succumb to their mortality. But all of a sudden, the Jew comes into it through the media and some and pieces of shit like Anthony Fauci and that Birx creature. And all of a sudden, they change the name from influenza to coronavirus. That's all it took. And you were set up for this because you're so simple and you're so ignorant today that all they have to do is change the name on something and your brains just turn to mush. It's unbelievable. Unbelievable. That's why they don't want to use the word Caucasian. Because you might wake up just as I did as a little boy, and I was in school, and when I filled out the paperwork at school, I had to put the word Caucasian in there. And as I got to be older and a teenager, and I was studying scripture and studying in school, and I was an honor student after the sixth grade, up to the sixth grade, I was pretty mediocre. But from seventh grade on, I was an honor student, exactly like my father. And so I questioned this word, Caucasian. Caucasian. What the hell does that mean, Caucasian? I'm white, but what does that mean? And all the kids in my classroom were the same. Why am I putting this on a piece of paper? And where does it come from? It's funny, in all the discussions throughout the years, in school and out of school and at church, nobody could answer that question. They just kind of looked at me. Well, it means you're white. Yeah, but where did it come from? Let's see, we get back to what I talked about last program. As a boy, one of the first words I learned was why. Pourquoi? Pourquoi? In French. Why? Well, because we came through the Caucasus Mountains in our trek from the area of the Eastern Mediterranean area in the diaspora or diaspora, where we left the areas of Palestine and the Near East, and we traveled up into Europe. Now, some of our kinfolk had already been up there for a long, long time, but those that had remained in the area of Judea. So in our trek through the mountains, there's a pass called the Pass of Israel to this day. Jacob, Israel. Stop thinking of that litter box in Palestine today as Israel. Israel is a people. It is not a country. Never has been. Israel is a people. Sometimes, as in the northern tribes being called Israel back in the day, was named after a people, not a country, just like Judah was named after the tribe of Judah. It's still a people. Wherever that people sets their foot, that is their country. So they trekked through these Caucasus Mountains, and all of a sudden they became known as what? They stopped being called Israelites, and they started to be called Caucasians. That little change created what? Confusion, and we became the lost tribes. Not lost in the sense don't know where we're going or whatever. We lost our identity. And that's been relatively recently. Our ancestors knew who they were, and you can find that out in like the Scottish Declaration of Independence, which is in the 1300s or the 14th century. Okay, so it's only been in the relative recent centuries that we seem to have lost our minds. So we didn't call ourselves Israelites, so we changed it to Caucasians, and all of a sudden we forget who the hell we are. So we don't know what a baby is anymore because the Jew changed it to fetus. We don't know who we are because they changed it from Israelite to Caucasian. We don't know anything about Scripture anymore because they're coming out with all these different translations. Again, changing words, like we talked about James chapter 1, verse 1. The letter to the lost tribes now shows up in two or three versions as the letter to the Jewish Christians. There is no such thing. That is an oxymoron. It's two terms that do not belong together, Jewish and Christian. No, can't happen. Can't happen. Their whole religion is anti-Christ, so how the hell can that be? You see what I'm saying? It's those subtle little changes that kill us all the time. And yet, we divide ourselves over every nuance of whatever topic you want to bring up. The enemy, they get along fine because they're racial. Every enemy of the white race is very nationalistic, very racialistic. Okay? They know who they are. They have no problem being proud of being black, brown, yellow, whatever. They have no problem of putting away their differences to attack us. They have no problem ignoring all the Jewish propaganda about diversity, except for white people. We bought it hook, line, and sinker, because we don't even know who we are anymore. We think we're just here by accident, some great Big Bang theory, and we just sort of poof came into existence. How ludicrous. Take a look around you, folks. I love the story about Napoleon, the General Napoleon of the French armies back in the 19th century. And he was getting ready for a battle, and they were on their ships in the harbor. And as was his custom, he was up on the poop deck staring at the stars. And his commanders were down on the lower deck having a discussion. And they got into a debate about God. And they're sitting there arguing, and then finally one of them looked up and said, "General, is there a God?" And the story goes that Napoleon looked to the heavens and spread out his arms, and he said, "Is there any doubt?" Folks, it's as simple as that. Look at the world around you. Shut the goddamn television and propaganda machines off for a change, will you? Please? And just take a look at the world around you. For instance, one of the things I do for entertainment now is I like to occasionally go outside, and there's a bunch of trees and bushes nearby, and there's all kinds of birds. All kinds of birds. Just watch the birds and how they play and frolic and fight and mate. And you sit there and you watch, and they always congregate by species. You'll see sparrows, you'll see mourning doves, you'll see sparrows, finches, even some parakeets, believe it or not. Okay? In this little area, I see this panorama of Yahweh's creation. And you people out there that say Yahweh is a demon god that is a creation of the Jews, would you please stop it? You're making me ill, okay? Making me ill. But you just watch what the birds and the animals do and how they behave and the beauty of their creation and how it all works together. Then I go back in my thoughts to when my children were born, the miracle of conception, the miracle of the 9 months of gestation, the miracle of the birth. And you even have a scintilla of understanding of how complicated the human body is. That's the other reason I am glad I went to the health classes that I went to. It taught me the intricate details of how this phenomenal machine called the human body works. And if you think for one split second that that all happened by accident, you are a moron. I'm sorry, but you are. You are dumber than a box of rocks. Okay? So, is there a God? Elohim God? If you don't believe in a creator, you're a fool. I'm going to just say it the way it is. You are a fool, and I will not discuss any topic with a fool. But our people want to argue about everything. When is the feast? How to celebrate the feast? Because we're in the time of the Feast of Tabernacles. Do we know exactly when it starts? Hell no, we don't. We argue about that too. Is it a lunar day? Is it a solar day? Is it the Gregorian? Or is it the Julian calendar? Blah, 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 blah. And we put knives in each other's backs. All based on something you have no proof of whatsoever. Look, I've been studying that topic for over 30 years. One of my very best friends, Jonathan David Brown, who's on the other side now, a singer and a songwriter, and also identity. He wrote a whole book on it, and I bought it, and I read it, and then Eli James came up with his version, and then Pastor Bob had his version, and then my buddy Bart up in Michigan had his version, and then there was another group over here that have their version, and then we have the World's Last Chance website. They've got their version. You see my point here? These are all good-hearted individuals. They all believe that they're right. They all can go to some part of Scripture to back up what they're saying, and they're all different. Now, let me ask you a question. Coming from this position, how the hell would you separate your fellowship from another Caucasian Israelite because of a calendar or the way they celebrate a feast? Because that's the other topic that we're all different on. Do you follow it to the letter? Do you follow it in principle? Blah, 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 blah. I did an interview with Richard Ford up in the Ozark Mountains years ago, and he's a scholar of the Hebrew text. And we got talking about the different feasts. And what are the feasts? The feasts are memorials. There are memorials. What is a memorial? It is to call into your memory. Okay? A memorial is to show honor to a past event. Keep it in your mind. Memorial, like memory, memorial. Why? Okay, because of the things that happened to us, and we didn't have books. We didn't have iPhones. We didn't have tablets for thousands of years. So what did we have? We had times when we got together and the elders would speak to us about the law and our history. That's what the feasts were. A time of fellowship, because we often lived many miles apart. And we didn't see each other like we do today. We didn't have cars and trains and subways. Think about it, folks. Think. Put your thinking cap on. And shut the propaganda off. So what was the feast? The feast was a time of fellowship, sharing our food with one another, commiserating, sharing stories. How you been? I haven't seen you for 3 months. Remember, we had four feasts during the year, roughly 3 months apart. So every 3 months we were told to get together, basically have a picnic. All right, our family used to have family picnics. They were wonderful times. Our cousins would come in from all over the county to our farm, and we'd all sit under this tree on a great big set of picnic tables, and we would fellowship. It was beautiful. In a way, it was like a feast. And we'd talk about current events and everything else, but during that time of fellowship was also a time to discuss Yahweh, our Father in heaven, our Creator. Or as the ancients called him in our pagan days, the All-Father. And I don't believe they were pagan in the sense they didn't believe in Yahweh. They just called him different names, like All-Father. Odin, Thor, all the gods of the so-called pagans, even though they were still our people, had names that are very similar to what the Hebrew and later on the Greek meant. Many of their customs can be traced right back to ancient Israel. We are ancient Hebrew, not these people called Jews. The vast majority of them. So once again, we forgot who we are. So we're going to argue about everything. Right now, we're in the time of the Feast of Tabernacles, which was what? It was a memorial of the time they came through the desert. Why was that? Because, again, they didn't have motorhomes. They didn't have U-Haul trailers. Okay? So what did they travel with? They traveled on by camel and horseback, and they had to drag along their possessions, and they had to be able to build little temporary shelters called booths. That's what tabernacles are, booths. B-O-O-T-H, booth. It's a temporary small shelter for people on the move. It's also a time for you to remember that our Father Yahweh walked with us at that time and protected us, did he not? It's also a time to humble yourself. How many of you live today in a palace? Oh, I know a lot of you say, well, Dan, I don't live in a palace. I'm going to tell you something. Compared to what the Israelites had going across that desert, you live in a palace. Compared to the huts and the homes that our people lived in for thousands of years, the thing you live in today would be called a palace. You have running water. You have indoor toilets. How many centuries, how many thousands of years did our people live in buildings that did not have those things? For the most part. I know the Romans and the Greeks sometimes had in their temples and palaces, that sort of thing. But the average person I'm talking about, especially those outside the cities. In the cities, they sometimes had things, but outside the cities, okay? So again, you think you live in a hut today, but your hut today would have been called a palace in their day. And so living in that booth is a way to humble yourself. Now, do you literally have to go outside and build a small hut and stay in it for a week? Well, you can do that if your heart is set on that. If you want to do as our ancestors did during the feast time. Okay? Is it a requirement, though? Well, I don't believe so. It's a requirement for you to remember it. It's a requirement that at this time you should humble yourself. It is a requirement at this time to know who the hell you are. And stop listening to the Jewish fables that the tribes are lost. We don't know this. We don't know that. You're just here by mistake, and the Jews are God's chosen people. Put that shit out of your mind. Humble yourself. Count your blessings. Our ancestors, when they sat in that little shelter, and especially today, if you want to go in the backyard and build yourself a shelter, it'll make you appreciate your house. You know, I've done that when I went camping. I particularly remember one winter we were gathering with Israelites, Caucasian Israelites in Michigan, and it was in the fall. And my son and I had brought a tent, and we didn't prepare very well. And in the middle of the night, we were freezing our asses off. I'm going to tell you, it was bitter cold because we didn't properly prepare for our booth, our shelter that night. And so we ended up knocking at the door of the host's house where he had a wood-burning stove. And I'm going to tell you something. That house was a palace after we laid out there and tried our best to sleep, but we were too damn cold. Okay? It makes you humble yourself when you deprive yourself of your modern conveniences that you've come to take for granted. Most of us have. So again, the feasts were memorials, and as Dick Ford told us, they are also looking forward in the sense that they are dress rehearsals. Because the scripture says there's a time coming when you will have to go on the run. You have to be prepared to go on the run. You have enemies in this world. Don't become so fixated on your material things that you stay put when the call comes for you to go on the run. So it was a dress rehearsal. There may be a time when the remnant are told to leave wherever they're at and depart. So you should know how to do with less. You should know how to be humble. You should know how to build a shelter. In other words, we should know how to do all the things that we have forgotten. How to fish, how to prepare fish on a campfire, how to hunt, how to properly butcher game, how to go through the forest and gather edible roots and berries. We forgot all that stuff because we've been lulled to sleep by the beast. You don't have to worry about that. In fact, if you have your scriptures, we're going to go to Jeremiah 14 here in a little bit because of some things that have happened recently. And we're going to talk about a few of these things where we've been lulled to sleep. So this is the time of the Feast of Tabernacles. It's also looking forward to the time of the second coming of our Messiah, as his first coming was during the Feast of Tabernacles, so shall his second coming. The exact day of it, does it matter? Let me ask you, does it matter? The exact day, weren't we told that doesn't matter, the hour or the day? That's why you're not supposed to make predictions, because you don't even have an accurate calendar anymore. You don't even have an accurate way of measuring the day. And yet we're going to sit around, typical Caucasian Israelites, we sit around and we stab each other in the back. We like to be condescending to those that we don't think know as much as we do. We like to play God. We like to criticize. We like to lift ourselves up by making other people look bad. And in a lot of ways, Israelites today, the Caucasian Israelites, are narcissists. They think the universe revolves around them. Everything the opposite of what our father taught. We as individuals are not what's important. We as the nation, the race of Jacob and his descendants, are important. Our children and our grandchildren are important, even more than our own selves. That's why he said in the scriptures that it's the mark of a person and his character that he would lay down his life even for a friend, let alone his own children. Okay? They have us sitting around quaking in fear over death. Something that's completely natural. Completely natural. Okay? And again, I'm not saying commit suicide. Yahweh does not want martyrs, and he does not want suicide. Because martyrdom, in a way, is a form of suicide. And I know, oh, we have stories of martyrs, blah, 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 blah. Yeah, we have stories. When I read the book and when I listen to my father speaking, he does not want us dead. He wants our enemies dead, but not us. See, they have that twisted around, too. They've got the Christian world walking around thinking it's better to die than to offend, blah, 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 and let the enemy go on killing us. Let the enemy go on butchering our babies. Let the enemy go on, put our people in prison where they are subjected to disease, rape, and murder. Put our children in quarantines because of a mysterious bug that does not exist and a pandemic that does not exist. Okay, but don't you get involved. Don't you pick up that sword now. Don't you come and take me outside and put me to the sword like your ancestors. Oh, no, no, no. What would Jesus say? Jesus, oh my God, Jesus would rather die than to stand there and get in your face. That's what they tell you, and we buy it. That's how silly we are. That's how imbecilic we are today. Because we don't know who we are. We don't know who our king is. We don't know who is to govern our lives. We believe the lie. We believe the flat screens. We believe the images controlled by the beast. Which is what? A form of worshiping the beast. And now, what is the beast starting to say? If you don't worship me, which means obey me, you shall not be able to, what? Buy or sell. No commerce. What are they already trying to do? If you won't acquiesce and put that diaper on your face, you can't come into my stores. You can't come into my money-changing houses called banks. You can't be part of Babylon. Well, what did Yahweh tell his true sons and daughters to do? Didn't he say to come out of Babylon? Do you think maybe he's giving us a kick in the ass right now to help us do that? We've talked about it on this show for 21 years. 21 years now we've been talking about coming out of Babylon. Israelites should come. Well, Dan, how do we do that? Well, like I said, it's not easy. Okay? However, Yahweh's making it easier, isn't he? Because now you can't sit on that fence, can you? Now you can't make any more excuses, because literally your acquiescence to the demands of the beast governments is going to cost you your life. How many people know that? Your decision to obey the beast is going to cost you your life. Not only your life here on this earth, but you're going to suffer the second death. I'm just telling you, folks. Everybody I know can sense that something big is about ready to take place, much bigger than a year ago when all this fake pandemic crap started. This is really big, what's getting ready to come down the pike. So that's why I say, you better know who you are. You better know why you're here, and you better know where you're going when you leave here. Because, folks, I got news for you. None of us are getting out of this thing alive, okay? This experiment called life on Earth, you're not going to get out of it alive. That's not in the cards. It wasn't given unto us. Now, there's a few, and some of you listening may be part of that group. There's a few that will not taste death at the end because we're that close. And we could be part of that, but you can't count on that. You have to mentally be prepared for death. At all times. At all times. That wasn't a suggestion. That's a commandment. You should be willing to give up your life in certain cases. And it doesn't mean on purpose. It doesn't mean to be a martyr or commit suicide. It means that if you stop doing something because of your fear of death, you have now put your life above integrity. You've put your life above godliness. And the whole church world, the whole so-called Christian church world, is full of those people. I attended church with them for many years before I woke up. I know what they are. They're hypocrites. For the vast majority of them, they are hypocrites to the highest order. They are what the scriptures call having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. They don't believe we have the power. They deny it. When we, as the body of Christ, the true believers, we have all the power in the world. The enemy knows that. That's why he spends so much money and time propagandizing us to get us to believe we don't have the power, that he has all the power. Well, if that were true, then why go through all the shenanigans that's going on right now? Why come up with a fake pandemic? Why put out on 24/7 propaganda over your toilet television that you must comply, when everybody that knows anything knows a face diaper isn't doing a damn thing for you? I mean, who in his right mind thinks that putting a piece of cloth over your face is going to protect you from anything? You or the other person? It doesn't. It just shows you the level of stupidity today. It shows you the level of slavery. People that will comply with some idiotic order from a beast government when it stands against all reason and even science and medical knowledge. Ask any honest person, and I know it's hard to find honest people today, but they're out there. People like Dr. Buttar and Sherry Tenpenny and Lorraine Day and Del Bigtree with the High Wire. These people are putting out, and Peggy Hall and Dr. Pamela Popper up there in Ohio. They're putting out the truth. and many, many, many others, thousands of doctors and epidemiologists are putting out the truth. But are you paying attention? No, most people aren't, because they're fixated on the screens. They're fixated on the images controlled by the beast, and they want to worship it. They don't want to confront it, because the beast has threatened what? Well, you can't come to my stores. You can't come to my bank. You can't have a job in my system. The system. Mystery Babylon comes to life. The system. The beast controls the system. Here's the amazing thing. Do we need the system to live? Do we need the system to live as Yahweh God created us? Well, I got news for you. The answer is no. In fact, life is out of the system. Or as the one adage goes, everything you ever wanted in this life is on the other side of fear. On the other side of fear. F-E-A-R. False evidence appearing real. False evidence appearing real. Because it's not real. There is no bug. There is no pandemic. We don't need government. We don't need bankers. We don't need Jews. We don't need any of these non-white and non-Christ faiths of this world. We don't need any of them. We just need to be who we were intended to be, the Adamic man put upon this earth to bring what? Yahweh's law and Yahweh's order. That's our job, folks. That's our job. And just as Scripture says, those that bless Abraham, our ancestor, not Jews. Go read Arthur Koestler's book, The 13th Tribe, folks. Get an education. Jews are not Abraham's people. Never have been, never will be. Abraham is one of the ancestors of the Caucasian Israelites. Those that bless Abraham will be blessed, and those who curse him will be cursed. What is it about the white race? Wherever the white race has gone, when people embrace them, their culture, their civilization progressed. And as they turned against the white race, or the white race up and left, their culture disintegrated. A good case in point is India. Okay, I'm reading a good book about Dharma and Gandhara, which is what northwestern India was called in ancient times when the Buddha came there. And the original Buddha obviously was a white man. And white people came in and spoke Sanskrit and wrote in Sanskrit for the most part in northwestern India today. And guess what? There is a remnant of people in that area who are Caucasians, because that's where the civilization sprang from of that era. And Buddha taught, basically, Old Testament principles. If you look at the writings of Buddha, he's basically teaching common sense biblical teachings, really. And he was treated as a god by the non-Israelites around them. And that part of India prospered. You look at the Taj Mahal and all the great works all through the centuries when white Aryan people ruled in India, and they had a high level of civilization. What do they have today? As the whites have pulled back and now only occupy a small area up in the northwestern part, what has India become in the vacuum that the white man left behind? Yeah, they're shitting in the streets. Okay? Their birth rates are out of control. They can't feed everybody. There's starvation. There's disease. Why? Because we acquiesced and left, and it went back to being a jungle. I just got a letter from a guy that I've been communicating with. Maybe I should share that. Then we'll get into Jeremiah 14. But he says, Dan, here, your post is very unusual. It was a meme about the white race and diversity. And the true people of color are the white race. Your post is very unusual. I have not seen anything like it in years. Ah, the eyes. I have three boys. Two have blue eyes and one green. My dad had blue eyes and my mother light brown. My grandparents had blue eyes. In the Baltic states, Belarusia, and Poland, the country is like Germany, mainly around 60-40. France used to be about 60-40, while England was around 65-35. Fantastic topic. My grandchildren have blue eyes. As we age, our once bright blue eyes become much lighter. All the countries mentioned above have 2-4% of their citizens with red hair. Red hair is very, very minority amongst the white race. Most places are somewhat around 50-50. So what? What about various groups and tomorrow? In all probability, the United States in the future will see fewer and fewer blue eyes. As for Mother Europe, no need to mention of her Western neighbors. In a few centuries, will Australia and New Zealand become a Chinese amalgamation? Yeah, that's where they're headed. My current interest is in DNA. This year, I've consumed 6 books and 1 DVD. Daniel, most of the information is mere hypothesis. Supercomputers hold the key. The problem there is, in the present climate, how will scientists be able to elicit their findings? The Chinese will not have this problem. They are proud of their people, do not have a fifth column, known as the Jewish problem, and less than 5% of a black difficulty. Unless the United States gets her act together and gives blacks their own state, the writing is on the wall, according to some. Let me stop there for a minute. Exactly right. Thomas Chittum talked about it in his book, Civil War II, The Coming Breakup of America. We could give blacks their own state because it would be very easy to put a wall around that state so that they cannot migrate in or out. And within 10 years, you can go right back in and reclaim the land anyway because it'll be nothing but a jungle. Okay? Guaranteed. Guaranteed. There'll be very few of them left. It'll be pretty much a jungle. So you just send the ones that survive back to Africa and rebuild the area. So give them their own area. When I was a kid, everyone was proud to be an American. We went to holiday parades. We had genuine free speech. People could talk about every subject except the Jewish topic, because they didn't have a monopoly over the media like they do now. Today, the media has even indoctrinated so simple a word as nigger, which cannot even be used. Now we have censorship just about everywhere. As this is being typed, Fox is showing some lowlife ambulate up to a police car and shot into innocent policemen. At the hospital, a large group of mostly blacks gathered and were yelling, "I hope they die." These violent people who are against the majority need to be incarcerated. Tens of thousands have their face encoded by store cameras and have made a mockery out of the law. They assault, burn, loot, and are still out on the streets. They endanger the lives of the people who are a plus for our country. As for blacks, it's an absolute fact that millions hate whitey. Millions want separation. Why not create harmony and give them their own state? As for having the capital be in Washington, that's wrong. It's dangerous. What? And a fortune has to be spent on securing safety in Washington? Move it to the Midwest. The deep state speaks for itself. Forget about John F. Kennedy and weapons of mass destruction. What about their spying on the president? Break them up, rename a new organization. Unless the revolution and the deep state is stopped, freedom will never return and America will be gone. Even this simple, harmless discussion can only go out to a few due to the lack of harmless free thought, censorship, and indoctrination. Yeah, amen to that. I got to call up something here real quick. Again, we forgot who we are. we forgot who we are, and we're allowing a foreign element that has crept into our lands convince us to do the things that are nonsensical. Okay? Again, because we have no identity. Exactly why identity is important. People say, well, Dan, watch us study the identity. Because if you don't know who's who in the zoo, how the hell do you figure out what the scriptures are even talking about? And that, again, gets me back to the point why we argue so much. All these different groups that I belong to and I interface with, they don't know who they are. They don't know our real history. They still use terms like Jew. Okay? I've said this. This is good homework for all of you. Go to your Bible. Pick out a Bible. Go get a cheap one with large print. There's plenty of them out there. Or go get an electronic one. This is even more fun. There's lots and lots of electronic ones out there, and you can cut and paste whole books out of the Bible and paste it into a Word document. Okay? And you don't have to use Microsoft Word. They've got LibreOffice and all these other free download open source ones are just as good as Microsoft. Okay, so stop supporting Bill Gates. Go get LibreOffice off the internet. It's free. And it works just as good. So you paste it into a Word document and do a what they call search and replace. Okay, I was a procedure writer, so Yahweh was training me for this time. And you do a search and replace, and everywhere you see the word Jew, you do a control H, and it says, find what word, and what do you want to replace it with? Well, take the word Jew and take it out of there. Okay? Depending on what book of the Bible in, you might want to replace it with Judahite. Or you want to replace it with Judean. Do a search and replace, and get rid of that damn word, Jew. It doesn't belong in our vocabulary. When you're studying scripture, it doesn't belong in there because they did not exist. They were either Judeans, people that lived in the land of Judea, or they were Judahites, members of the tribes of Jacob. Get it out of there. It'll help refresh your memory of what's in the scripture, and you'll have a much clearer understanding. That's a simple thing to do. It only takes a few minutes. If anybody out there doesn't know how to do that, I can tell you over the phone exactly how to do it. Takes just a few minutes. And again, as a technical procedure writer, I had to do stuff like that every single day for 2 decades. So I used to think my job was such a benefit to society, making electrical power, when actually my job was preparing for me for what I'm doing now, not for what I did back then. That job was actually inconsequential. It's no wonder that the people I worked for didn't give a damn about my contributions. Even though I worked very hard to give the best procedures to the workers out in the field so that they didn't get hurt and that they could do their job sufficiently, the companies didn't care because they were already taken over by Jews. All the Jews cared about was making money. They didn't care about making things better in the workplace. See, that was my mistake. However, Yahweh used that opportunity to teach me many things about computers, about software, about Excel spreadsheets, about databases, and about Word documents and how you can generate them and use the different tools in Microsoft Word and the other programs that operate like it. Word processors are what they're called. Okay? Use it to our advantage. Take the scriptures that are poor translations, paste them in a document, and go in there and very quickly and very easily put the correct meanings of words in there and have a translation that's actually usable. Someday I'd like to make an identity Bible using that kind of technology with all the knowledge that we have now, because we really don't have a good identity Bible in English. Really don't. Okay? We really don't. I like what Angel put in here. Noah had 3 different colored children. Yeah, that just shows you how stupid people are. And I use that term, and a lot of people say you're being harsh, Dan. Well, we're late in the game, folks. Got to call a spade, okay? If you believe that, you're dumber than a box of rocks. If you think all races came from Noah, you're dumber than a box of rocks. It's just as simple as that. If you believe that there is no God, no creator, no author of this life and this world that we live on, if you believe that, you're dumber than a box of rocks. If you think we're on a ball spinning 1,100 miles per hour at the equator, Well, I'm sorry, but we don't. And I'm not going to say dumb because I have brethren that still believe in the globe stuff, but that's okay. I'm not going to break fellowship over that one. But the fact that we live on a firm, unmovable, fixed plane under a firmament is so common sense to me. I don't know how anybody could refute it. I really don't. But again, that's an area where we don't need to all agree on it. I'm just giving you my perspective. I find it refreshing to know that the whole Copernicus thing with the globe is made up bullshit, mostly to separate us from God. And people, I've had people, even my own family, argue with me. Well, that's ridiculous, Dan. We've got science. We've got astronomy. We've got NASA. I said, yeah, and they're all lying. You're living in a lie. You haven't figured that out yet? This is all a stage production. You haven't figured that out? What's the one thing in common with all of these institutions? They're all tied in with the beast. They're all getting grants and money from the beast. They're all getting their directions from the beast, and you think they're telling you the truth? Are you kidding me? Again, shut the goddamn flat screens off and go outside and look with your own eyes at the world around you and what makes sense. What resonates within you? Remember, the scriptures tell us the Spirit testifies to the truth. The Spirit testifies to the truth. There's one caveat to that. Do you have the Spirit? A lot of these people walking around completely mystified and putting diapers on their face and everything else, they don't have the Spirit of our Father in them. Do you think they do? I don't think so. The Holy Spirit speaks pretty plain to me about things. I got to believe that He's speaking to all believers the same way. It's the same Spirit. The Spirit of love, truth, justice, integrity, morality. It's the same Spirit that makes my skin crawl when I see all these people with dirty diapers on their face. Makes my skin crawl when I see a black and a white person holding hands. Even worse, producing mamzers, bastards, mixed breeds, things that are not to exist. Okay. Same thing when the farmer goes out there and he plants hybrid seeds. That's an abomination. Same thing with a guy with a vineyard when he goes out there and he takes a branch from one tree and he splices it into another tree. That's an abomination. Race mixing is an abomination. Homosexuality is an abomination. And yet we practice it day in and day out. You live in it. You live in a cesspool of abominations. These flat screens and the idiocy that it portrays, an abomination. Listening to Copernicus when he was paid by the Catholic Church to come up with that whole bullshit story is an abomination. When the ancients and the scriptures tell you quite a different story, that's an abomination. And you're all going to find out very, very soon, all right? All of these things are going to come to light. Many of the lies of the past centuries have already been dispelled, especially about the Jew. But everything else is going to be revealed here very, very soon. We're going to have a great reset, all right, but I don't think it's going to be quite what everybody expects. Okay? Judgment is coming. Judgment is coming, whether you're ready for it or not. And I dare to say many are not ready. Okay, we're going to go real quick here to Jeremiah 14. And the only reason I'm bringing it up is Colonel Potter put out a video. And I agree with Colonel Potter on a lot. I don't agree with him on everything. He likes to say that Israel is whoever has the love of Yahweh in their hearts. And we're to judge by fruit. Well, yeah, that part's true. Judge by fruit, that's true. But to dispel the racial connotations of Scripture is a lie. Okay? It's a lie. To simply say that I'm going to judge everything based on their spirit, that's falsehood. That's like saying I can go ahead and eat this bowl full of pork, and because I have a good spirit, it's not going to harm my body. Well, I went to natural health classes, and I'm going to tell you something. Even there, they said stay away from pork. All right? They said stay away from rabbits. They said stay away from shellfish. Okay? Now, I can have a good spirit all I want. But if I think that because I have a love for the Father, that I can sit there and eat that bowl full of pig meat and it's not going to do harm to me is ludicrous. But anyway, apparently there's been a new coin minted where Trump, along with his Jewish cohorts, are basically mocking our Father by claiming that they're going to bring peace on the earth. What does Scripture say about those who claim peace, peace on the earth? What did it say? And we got a caller. Let me take this call here real quick. Okay, I believe this is Chris. Is that you, Chris?
Hey, yeah, it is. I just wanted to say I love you, brother, and this show has been phenomenal. If you were crushing this podcast any harder, it would be flatter than the earth.
kind words, I think. Thank you, Chris.
Yeah. That's it.
Huh?
That's all I got.
Oh, okay. Well, I'll tell you what. I'm going to leave your mic hot on my end, but you can mute it at your end. That way, if you have something further you want to add, you can just unmute. Okay?
Thanks, sir.
All right, buddy. Y'all bless.
You too.
All right. Very kind words. Anyway, so Netanyahu and Trump and his Jewish buddies have come up with a coin. And apparently they've taken something right out of Jeremiah 14, where it says in verse 13 here, then I said, ah, Yahweh, Lord God, behold, the prophets tell them, you will not see the sword, neither will you have famine, but I will give you assured peace in this place. Okay, much like things that happen in this world today, the liars and deceivers give you a portion. So if you just read that, you will not see the sword, which means you will not see violence or armed conflict. Neither will you have famine, meaning you will have food. But I will give you assured peace. Okay, this is the bombacity and narcissism of Netanyahu and Trump. Okay, portraying themselves as what? Saviors. And we've talked about that on this program ever since Trump came to office. And trust me, I gave Trump a lot of leeway, a lot of time, hoping that he was a good person. But as Colonel Potter said today, I think this one pretty much seals the deal that he's not on our side. Now, again, if I'm wrong, if 2 months from now this global reset comes about, the white hats step out, all the perpetrators are in prison, the worst of them have been executed, I'll be one of the first people to come on the air and call myself a dumbass, apologize to you, apologize to Trump, apologize to the military white hats, but I am not going to change my attitude today. I am not going to take my rifles and unload them. I am not going to take the magazines out of my pistols. I am not going to take that knife that I keep sharp, my combat knife. I am not going to put it up in the closet because I'm ready for the day of battle. And I'm not going to trust anything anybody tells me until I see proof. Even Benjamin Fulford talking to Robert David Steele was basically saying the same thing. Robert David Steele was talking about a lot of the talk about arrests and we're actually seeing clones, blah, 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 blah. But even Benjamin Fulford said, I only will trust what I can verify. And that's where I stand. So when these clowns come up with this section out of Jeremiah 14 at verse 13, And they left the rest of it out. And Colonel Potter did make a good point of that. And so did Jennifer LaFontaine in her YouTube channel. They left out the rest of it, as is often done, just like in Romans 13. We're to obey government, but only godly government. Government of our people, of our race, who are godly. That's the only government. Every other government is evil and wicked and should be revealed by our actions and should be reviled by our people, not obeyed. That's ludicrous. Why would you obey a godless government? Did our founding fathers believe that? Absolutely not. Did William Blackstone, one of the greatest jurists of all times, did he believe that? Nope. He said just the opposite. He said the exact same thing that Peter said in Scripture. If it's a choice between obeying man and God, you must obey God. Must obey. Do you understand what the word must, M-U-S-T, means? It's not a suggestion. Must obey Elohim God. Jeremiah 14:14. Then Yahweh El Shaddai said to me, the prophets prophesy lies in my name. I did not send them. I did not command them. I did not speak to them. They prophesy to you a lying vision, divination, and a thing of nothing, and the deceit of their own heart. Hallelujah. That's exactly what we're being handed today. Therefore, Yahweh says concerning the prophets who prophesy in my name, but I did not send them, yet they say sword and famine will not be in this land. Those prophets will be consumed by sword and by famine. Pay attention, folks. Pay attention to those who worship the beast. Okay? What is worshiping the beast? Obeying the beast. Put that face diaper on. Put your children in public schools so we can indoctrinate them. Give that vaccine to that little baby. Mutilate those baby boys with circumcision. Obey the beast. Those prophets will be consumed by sword and by famine. The very thing they're telling the world, don't worry, we have your best interests at heart. Don't worry, put that diaper on your face. Yeah, I know, it's cutting down your oxygen. Well, yeah, okay, it's trapping germs and you're breathing them back in. Yeah, but I have your best interests at heart. Do you see the dichotomy? Yeah, it's a little bit like Pavlov's dogs. We've talked about that many times, that great experiment. You can Google it and go find it. I wouldn't use Google. Go to Start Page or DuckDuckGo. But Pavlov's dog. Okay, that's the famous experiment where he had one stimuli, like turning on the light, and it was the dog got fed, and the dog was happy and wagging his tail. But there's another where he came in, and he blew a whistle, and he beat the dog. Then I don't remember the exact experiment at the moment, but it's something very similar to that. But the part of Pavlov's experiment and how these like joy and terror could be created, that's where everybody leaves off. They don't give you the rest of the story. The rest of the story was what happened when Pavlov came into the room. He turned on the light and he blew the whistle, meaning he gave a very positive stimuli at the same time he gave a very negative stimuli. He did what? The dog froze. That's you, folks. You're those dogs. The media, those flat screens that you just can't seem to get out from in front of your face, are pumping you through very positive and very negative stimuli at the same time. And you're frozen in your tracks, just like the dogs. Because that's what your enemy thinks of you. You're a dog. You're not part of the clique. You're just a useless eater. You're just a goyim, a part of the herd, being corralled by the images of the beast, being led into the corral for the slaughter. I've told people, don't worship any man upon this earth, and they're worshiping Trump. The Democrat Party and everybody associated with it are obviously evil. You don't even have to be a biblical scholar to figure that out. But what are they doing? They're driving the people that have any kind of consciousness about them into Trump's camp, as if that's the only alternative. Now, you tell me that I'm wrong. 3 months from now, you tell me that I'm wrong. We're going to find out very soon, okay? We've reached that point. Okay? We've reached that point. We're not going to have to wait years. We're only going to have to wait weeks at this point. Hallelujah for that. No more waiting. No more waiting. Verse 16, the people to whom they prophesize. Now, who are the people to whom the false prophets are prophesying? That's you, folks. The ones that have had their flat screens still on, that tune into the mainstream media every night, that listen to the propaganda bullshit coming out of Fauci and Burks, coming out of Trump, coming out of the administration, coming out of the Department of Justice, coming out of all these fake and phony institutions that are not doing you any good at all. It's all part of the show. To the people whom they prophesy, they will be cast out into the streets of Jerusalem because of the famine and the sword. What's it talking about there? They will have no one to bury them. So why are they cast out in the streets? Because they died. They died. There will be no one to bury them. Their wives, their sons, or their daughters. For I will pour their wickedness on them. Now, notice Yahweh's first vengeance is upon the fools that believe the false prophets. He's going to go after the false prophets, but he's also going to go after the people that listen to him. Okay, verse 15, he consumes the false prophets. Verse 16, he's going to go after the people that listen to him. Are you paying attention? You better know who you are, folks. You better know who your king is. You better know where you're going to go when you leave here. And I believe very strongly that we are in the time where many of his followers will not taste death. I believe that with all my heart. I believe those that truly love Yahweh will be carried through this fire. And yes, we're going to witness horrific things, no doubt about it. Just like our poor people that are trapped in California, they are sucking in the dirty air, they're watching the disasters happen around them. Disasters, Yahweh never said disasters would be taken away from our people in the sense that we would not be affected by them. Because we can be. He just said that we would not be overcome by them. They will not destroy us. So we're going to watch as people we love and care about. I'm going to watch it in my own family. I know that. I know that. Yahweh's been preparing me for years. People I care a lot about. People, I've already watched family members be taken from me because of what this world has done. The poisonous foods, the stress, the lies coming across the flat screens. I did everything humanly possible to reach them and try to get them to stop worshiping the beast, stop eating their shit food, go to natural health, trust what Yahweh put in your body to take care of you. They did not listen. They did not listen. I don't have MD after my name. I don't have PhD after my name. I don't have head of the NIH after my name. And so therefore, what do you know, Daniel? What do you know, Daniel? Why should I listen to you? Can you just picture Messiah on the streets of Judea talking to our brethren 2,000 years ago and what it was like? I can. I can picture it as if I was there. The looks on their faces when you're trying to tell them the truth, how much they hate you for putting a hat pin in their comfort zone, bursting that bubble that they've created around their heads, the lies and deceptions that they want to hang on to because it's comfortable. How dare you tell me the truth, Daniel? How dare you tell me I can't eat that pork? How dare you tell me that that church is the last place on earth you're going to hear the scriptures spoken in truth? How dare you? Or that Christ was not a Jew. Oh my God, Dan, it's obvious the Jews are God's chosen people. Really? On what level are the Jewish people God's chosen people? What level? Why? Because they're murdering the Palestinians like they're animals in the streets? Is that how he's blessing them? That they have completely obliterated what was left of any Christian true faith in this country? Is that how they're a blessing to us? Is that how they demonstrate being his chosen people? Their whole religion based on hating Christ and those that love the Christ, meaning the anointed one? That's why they're chosen? That's funny. The prophet Obadiah at verse 18 says that they're not chosen for anything good. Ezekiel at chapter 25, verse 14, he doesn't seem to think they're chosen for anything good. And then again, Malachi chapter 4, the one I keep telling you about, doesn't sound like they're going to be in too good a shape. And right here in Jeremiah 14, who do you think the false prophets are? Who owns these flat screens, people? Who owns what comes across these screens into your face day in and day out? You think Zuckerberg is an Irishman? Susan Wojcicki is a Welshman? And all the rest of the talking heads that are sitting on top of these platforms, all of them are just figureheads because they're all retards, okay? If anybody thinks for 1 minute Mark Zuckerberg actually developed anything that has to do with Facebook, are you kidding me? Take a look at him. He doesn't even look human. He looks like something that came off a spaceship. Okay? He looks like something from a horror movie. So do the rest of those creatures. You're going to tell me they didn't develop shit. Artificial intelligence did, and whatever that artificial intelligence couldn't come up with, white engineers who take shekels from the Jews to take God-given talent and use it for Jewish purposes. To our own chagrin, to our own shame, we use our God-given talents to enrich and empower Christ's enemies, the Jews. Now, Robert David Steele and others go, well, we got to separate Jews from Zionism. That's funny, the Bible doesn't separate them. Edom Esau is Edom Esau. It's a people that are not capable of conversion. That's why Christ said, I speak in parables because there are those here who are condemned already, not capable of being saved. Now, for those souls out there that call themselves Jewish but do know Yahweh and hear the voice of the Christ, I dare say you're not Jewish. Not by race, anyway. Because Yahweh's not going to take the race of demons into the kingdom. I'm telling you, that ain't going to happen. So again, that's why I warn our brethren, do as Messiah told us and judge people by their fruits. A good tree cannot produce bad fruit. And a bad tree, meaning those not of the kingdom, cannot produce good fruit. If their fruits are good, they're probably going to make it. That's not your decision to make. It's not my decision to make. Anyway, Yahweh said, I will decide who will be plucked up and who will be thrown into the fire. I and my angelos, my angels, my messengers. If you don't have the calling from the Father, you better be careful about who you condemn to hell, who you throw into the fire, so to speak. That's why I don't do it. You'll notice on all these broadcasts for 21 years, I do not condemn the other races to hell. I condemn those that violate God's law, absolutely. I'll condemn white people that violate God's law. I have no idea why he put us amongst all these people, but I do know we're here to fulfill the law. We are here to bring law and order, and we've stopped doing it. We've allowed the Jews to convince us that we are not the people of the Bible, but they are. No greater lie has ever been told. So our people don't even know who we are anymore. We've lost it in our hearts and our souls. We've lost it in every way imaginable. We're walking around like zombies, no direction, no purpose. We're just bags of bones going from one shopping center to a mall, to a party to get high, to a bar to get drunk, to a dancing discotheque to have a good time and hopefully get picked up by a female. We're doing all kinds of shit. Just bags of bones, walking around, no soul, no spirit, no life, no energy, just taking up space, walking through life with no goals, no purpose, when Yahweh said, I'm here knocking at the door. I'm knocking at the door, but you got to let me in. Yahweh didn't say, I've come with a battering ram like these SWAT teams that are nothing but stooges for their Jewish masters. He didn't say, I'm going to come with a battering ram and I'm going to bust your door on and I'm going to grab you and force you. Did he? No, he didn't. He said, I'm knocking. He's knocking at your heartstrings, folks. He's knocking at that center of your soul. He says, let me in that I can fellowship with you. Let me in. Do you hear my voice? Can you not tell from my voice that I love you? Can you not tell that I have the best of intentions for you? And yet you won't let me in. Just like my relatives as I knocked at their door. Can you not understand what I'm telling you is truthful? Okay, I don't have credentials. The world system considers me a tick on the ass. But that doesn't mean I'm not telling you the truth. Why do you walk away? Why do you deny? It's sad. Yahweh's sitting here with our people, the greatest race to walk this earth. Just go read the book Human Accomplishments by Charles Murray. There's other books also, but that's a good one. Okay? Forget what Charles Murray himself is. Look at the book, Human Accomplishments. And look at the vast number of those. It was created by the Aryan, Christian, Israelite, Caucasian race. That's us. Now, you're going to sit there and tell me you don't know who we are? You don't know that we're the Adamic people that were put upon this earth, this protected area, which is what Eretz is, with the dome above? Nothing from outside's getting in, folks. So take those fears, because the enemy's trying to tell you that shit now, too. Oh, we have an asteroid coming. We've got Nibiru. We've got Planet X. We've got comets, blah, 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 blah. As soon as I hear any of that bullshit, I turn it off. My faith is in my Father. My faith is in the firmament that he put over this earth. What's on the other side of that firmament? You don't have a damn clue. And neither does NASA. Neither does any of these other charlatans and quacks trying to lead you by fear. So why are you listening to them? Open your eyes, open your hearts, and let the Holy Spirit minister unto you. Come to the Father. He's knocking, okay? It's not a ritual. It's not a set of verses or a set saying that you got to say. That's what the church world wants you to think, because that automatically gives the church power over you. Father says, I want a relationship with my children. I want you to hear what I have to say. I want you to open the door and invite me in so I can minister unto you. That's what he's trying to get through our heads, and we're just ignoring him. Instead, we're listening to these lying pieces of shit bastards over these flat screens as if they're going to tell us the truth. They don't even care about you, folks. All they care about is keeping this beast system running, when the truth of the matter is we don't need any part of this system. It's an enslavement tool. It's a trap. Know who you are. It's as simple as that. Know who you are. Anyway, if you want to read the rest of it, you can go to Jeremiah chapter 14. It's pretty good teaching there. Amos chapter 3, verse 7, surely the Lord Yahweh will do nothing unless he reveals his secret to his servants, the prophets. Your job, ladies and gentlemen, is to figure out who the real prophets are versus the false prophets. He warned you, in that day there will be those who come in my name but are liars. They're the same ones that he says to, in the end, depart from me, for I never knew you. The Spirit testifies to the truth. The key is that you have the Spirit. And to have the Spirit, you have to accept the invitation of our Father. There is no other way. That's why Yahshua constantly said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. How simple, folks. All wrapped up in a verse. I am the way, the path, the truth, which brings what? Life. Stay on the path, the narrow path, that leads to truth and justice and harmony. We don't need Babylon. We don't need this beast system with its banking, all controlled by the Antichrist. We don't need it. Can you not perceive? You know, there's a proverb that says, my people suffer from a lack of vision. Nobody ever talks about that. They always talk about the one that says, my people suffer from a lack of vision. Truth, knowledge or truth. But they don't ever talk about my people suffer from a lack of vision. Our people can't even envision a world where we don't need bankers' money, where you own your home in perpetuity, no taxes, no mortgages. Your home is your home. Nobody can kick you out. The land is your land for your family to feed itself upon. In perpetuity, nobody can take you off your land. That sacred land, Yahweh gave it to his children. He gives it to the people of the earth to support themselves. We don't need factories. We don't need processed foods. We don't need bottled water. We need to get the Antichrist the hell out of our world. We need to do what Ezekiel 37 and Gideon talked about. We need to get these Antichrists and put them to the sword. Let them fertilize the ground because it's the only thing they're good for. Stop listening to them, folks. There's a better world here for us if we just reach out and take a hold. If we just answer the call. If we just open the door to your heart. Make sense? I hope so. Maybe what I should do is try to find Richard Ford, because I haven't talked to him in a long time, and we can do another broadcast on the feasts and what they are, etc. But we are in the season for the great feast, the ingathering. The Feast of Tabernacles was at the end of the growing season. It's the ingathering, the grain. Does that sound familiar, the parable of the wheat and the tares? The parables that talked about in the last days when Yahweh brings his children into the granary? Does that sound familiar to you? We're at that time of year, but without an accurate calendar, we don't know exactly. But Father told us not to worry about that, didn't he? He said, take it, things one day at a time. Worry about today's issues. Don't dwell on the past, and don't try to figure out what tomorrow brings. Okay? Let today be sufficient unto itself. Be thankful for your blessings. Ask that the Father watch over you. It's really that simple, folks. We just have to remember who we are and who our enemies are. Not everything in shoe leather, not everything with two arms and two legs is your brother or your friend. Know who you are. Right now, more than any time ever before, start building your arc of associations. That network of fellow believers who share truths with each other, much like the prepper communities that I've joined, that I've been to and witnessed. They work together very, very well. They do a lot of bartering between themselves, etc. Exactly as Father said, we don't need the B system. Do you think the Amish care about the B system? Do you think the Amish are going to vaporize and vanish simply because the B system crashes and burns? No, the Amish are going to be just fine. Why? Because they never built their whole society based on the Antichrist system. Okay? Now, I don't believe they're perfect, and I don't agree with them in all their theology, but at least as far as a society, they're closer to Scripture than we are. We're trapped. We fell for the lies. We bought into the delicacies of the whore of Babylon. All these things that make your life comfy. Conveniences. Remember the old saying? The road to hell is paved with convenience. It also says the road to hell is paved. Let's see, paved with convenience. Oh, paved with good intentions. That's right. They're both true. They're both true. Every assault on your liberties, every assault on your person can always be covered up with, oh, I have the best of intentions. Or, just as they're doing right now, oh, you can pay for that hamburger at McDonald's. Use your phone. Or, here, put this chip in you, and you just put your wrist over the reader. Convenience. You want this juicy little manufactured burger? Oh, that's a delicacy. Well, here, just use my system. Put the mark over the scanner, and look how easy and convenient it is. Neither of those things is good for you. It's not real food they're feeding you. It looks good, but is it nutritious? Nope, not even close. And now there's human DNA showing up in so-called meat that they're serving you in these fast food places. The beast is mocking us constantly, constantly mocking us. All right. Well, it's time for us to know who we are, and it's time to stay awake and alert like you've never done before, folks. I'm telling you, things are going to ramp up here very, very quickly. So praise Yahweh for that. Remember who you are and that you are in his camp. You are a child of the living God. That should be the foremost thing on your mind in the morning when you wake up and on your mind when you go to bed at night. You are a child of the living God. Never, ever forget that. And as you love him, so in turn, he loves you. So don't fall for this fear porn that is constantly pumped into your heads. Remember, fear, F-E-A-R, false evidence appearing real. How does the enemy control us? Through fear. And can fear exist in the heart of a true believer? Can fear exist in the heart of a true believer? The answer, no, it cannot. So if you're fearful, if you're constantly running around with fear as your motivator, I would seriously doubt that you actually have faith. I would seriously doubt that you've invited the King of Kings into your heart. Ralph says here, I have a suggestion. We celebrate the harvest feast on Wednesday's show, and it would be a good thing. We can do that. We can do that. Discuss the harvest feast and more details about it in the past. And yeah, that's not a bad idea, Ralph. Maybe we will do that. Because it is that season. We just don't know the exact time. And it's not critical. Folks, I'm telling you, it's not critical. Ralph says here, he says, I think Dan's getting ready to sign off. So Psalm 91 to the remnant and Psalm 83 to our enemies. Praise Yah for that. Yeah, you're right, Ralph. I think I will. I know everybody's busy, and sometimes I get full of wind and just keep right on trucking, and I don't really pay much attention to the time. What times we live in. As many of our folks have said in contacting me, these are exciting times. Yeah, they are. They are exciting, all right. They're also scary. Not fearful, but scary because of the incredible ignorance and inhumanity of man towards man. It's just unbelievable. And how easily people can be deceived. If you're not grounded in the truth, folks, if you're not grounded in knowledge of who you are, you can be easily persuaded. The communists Marx and Lenin often said, a people who are separated from their history can be easily persuaded. That's a different way of saying exactly what I just was talking about. People who don't know who they are, people who don't know their history, people don't know where they came from, therefore they don't know where they're going. Marxism, communism, Zionism, Judaism is a cancer amongst the white nations. Dear Heavenly Father Yahweh, we first of all want to offer up a soldier's ransom prayer for all of our men at arms. For those who have given you the soldier's ransom, which is 1/6 of an ounce of silver, we ask that you'd bless their hearts, give them strength, courage, clear vision, let them know what preparations they need to make for the coming battle. We know that you're in charge on this earth, Father Yahweh, and we pray for your return to be soon. We pray for you to sit upon the throne, for you never should have left it. Our ancestors were fools to ask for kings. We, your sons and your daughters, do repent of our ancestors' decision. We have suffered tremendously under this world system of men governing over men. We pray earnestly that you would return and sit upon that throne, and we be your willing vessels upon this earth. We ask that you would lead these armies against the wicked. And as Malachi told us, that you would put them to the sword and depart them from this world, that it could return to the pristine, beautiful paradise that you intended it to be, and that we who walk upon the earth could return to lives without all of this poison that surrounds us. Raise up that army, Father. Bless those soldiers. Give them stiff backbones, courage, clear vision, strong arms, and solid weapons. For the rest of us, Father Yahweh, we ask that you would forgive us our sins and shortcomings, that you would watch over us, walk with us, teach us, and forgive us. We do stumble and fall. But help us to keep our hearts pure, our minds clear, and that the motives for everything we do and say be in alignment with your will upon this earth as it is in heaven. Watch over us and protect us from our enemies, and we ask all this in the name of our Father in heaven, Yahweh. Hallelujah.